And so what the studies actually show is that tooth decay is actually a deficiency in calcium in the mouth. It's not actually just the the stickiness of plaque on teeth or the overproduction of acid from certain bacteria in the mouth. It's actually the lack of calcium.
Hi everyone, Drew Prote here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. Today we're talking with another dentist, a dear friend of mine, Dr. Stephen Lin, who has written a book called The Dental Diet. He's back on the podcast for a second time to talk to us about interventions when it comes to healing cavities. Did you know at the first sign of tooth decay, you can do certain things to intervene early and prevent cavities from happening? And if you don't have any cavities right now and you want to keep your teeth healthy, this podcast is for you. Oral health is connected so deeply to our overall health. Stay tuned. Hi, everyone. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by my new venture and our newest protein powder, the Pegan Shake. One of the best ways to boost your brain power is with the best nutrition. This is why Dr. Mark Hyman and I teamed up to create the perfect shake to start your morning off right and set your brain and body up for vitality and success. The shake is called the Pegan Shake, and it features a combination of grass-fed collagen, organic pumpkin, and organic pea protein powder with healthy fats from MCT oil and avocado oil, which, by the way, are great for fat burning and fueling brain power as well. A little bonus, the Pegan Shake also features organic acacia fiber, which is great for gut motility and digestion. See, this shake was created to support healthy blood sugar and healthy energy levels. In fact, one of the most common reasons for mood imbalances and brain challenges come from unbalanced blood sugar. Have you ever felt anxious, tired, and wired, and then ate something and felt better? Well, when your blood sugar goes through major fluctuations throughout the day, you literally can feel crazy. I know so many people can relate. So the Pegan Shake supports your blood sugar by feeding your body the right information from this perfect combination of macronutrients. I've been using the Pegan Shake for months, and I feel full, satisfied, satiated, focused, and most importantly, I avoid those energy slumps that come in the late afternoon too. I think you're gonna love this shake. Dr. Hyman and I teamed up to make it because we literally couldn't find a shake mix that we loved. So we decided to create it ourselves. Check it out at getpharmacy.com/pegan shake. You can find the link in the show notes. That's pharmacy with an F, pharmacy.com/pegan shake. Now on to today's episode. Welcome to the Broken Brain Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Prote, and each week, my team and I bring on a new guest who we think can help improve your brain health, feel better, and live more. This week's guest is my dear friend, Dr. Stephen Lin. Dr. Stephen Lin is a world-leading authority in the field of functional dentistry and the author of The Dental Diet, The Surprising Link Between Your Teeth, Real Food, and Life-Changing Natural Health. Dr. Lin's practice is founded in the root cause protocols to prevent developmental issues associated with crooked teeth and the biological basis of nutrition-focused oral systemic and mouth-brain connection. That's a mouthful, but we're going to explore it in today's episode. Dr. Lin, welcome back to the Broken Brain Podcast.
Hey, Drew, that was a bit of a mouthful. Yeah, but it's the mouth leads us in interesting places, so I'm excited to get into it again.
It does. And as listeners of this podcast know, so many of our past guests have said the same thing over and over again. So much health and disease starts in the mouth. And that's why we are excited to jump into today's topic. I shared with you as we were in our pre-recording, I came across an article that you wrote in discussions with my producer, Melanie, and that article was called How to Cure Tooth Decay. And I think that a lot of people feel like, okay, I think I know how tooth decay happens. Let's stay away from sugar. We've always heard that growing up. But when it comes to actually having cavities and tooth decay, most people don't realize that you can actually reverse the process. It depends how maybe far along it is. You got to work with your dentist, but you have worked with hundreds of patients where you, and also written about protocols where you've seen this reversal firsthand. So let's jump into it. Big picture. Talk to us a little bit about the origin Before we talk about your protocol and what people can do to potentially be reversing tooth decay, let's talk big picture and a little bit of the history of tooth decay.
Yeah, Drew, it's really interesting because, you know, in dental school, you're taught about tooth decay as, you know, it's almost like it's written and that, you know, that we understand tooth decay from, you know, right through how it happens and the cause. And, you know, we know that sugar consumption is associated with tooth decay. But, you know, when you look back in the history of, you know, what we've understood about decay, there's been a bit of a flipping, you know, of the philosophy of where we think tooth decay comes from. And it's fascinating. I only recently in the last few years began to start to look at this. Now, my work with teeth has always brought me back to understanding what our ancestors did and, you know, what, you know, some of the older literature talks about in terms of what we understand about our dental health and what that shows us about the body. So what we used to, in Greek philosophy, when we used to talk about decay, when they used to, you know, wonder why decay happens. Yeah, this was actually founded on the idea that there was something happening inside the body. So people were having these rotten teeth and there was the idea that we have tooth worms. And so, you know, we have to remember that the foundations of medicine was formed in the Greeks. And so they were the first, you know, times when they were writing about and they're looking at patients and saying, you know, why is this happening? Is this, well, they think there was a worm, like a parasitic infection in the tooth. And, you know, that seems, you know, quite strange for us, you know, for quite a while now. But when we start to look at what's happening, you know, with what we understand about the, you know, the biological processes of mineral balances in the body, it actually, our perspective is starting to shift back into the body. And so what happened in the 17th and 1800s is that this idea that something was happening inside the body was thrown out. The biological and the outside factors, so the saliva and the more infective factors began to become a focus as to the cause of decay. And that's really where we, you know, in our modern perspective, we're sitting. And it was only in the 70s and 80s that the microbiological, theory of decay, where there is an infection of Streptococcus mutans, which is a fast metabolizing bacteria, eats sugar, releases decay. That was, you know, kind of what my dental, education was founded on, where we have, you know, this infection because we have sticky plaque on the teeth and then the bacteria eat away at the tooth because of acids. And, you know, that was really kind of playing into this, you know, 1700s and 1800s, you know, theories where tooth decay is coming from the outside. But since then, you know, we've really kind of shifted into a more detailed understanding of what's happening with mineral balances in the body, what's happening with bone metabolism. And, you know, the understanding of the oral microbiome shows us that there's millions and millions and millions of bacteria living in the mouth. And so just this infective idea of tooth decay started to, you know, not make so much more sense. And then in the last 10 years, once the idea of the oral microbiome popped up, we began to see that, hang on, it's imbalances and bacteria are doing things and they're managing minerals in the body. Plaque and bacteria actually exchange minerals and calcium. And this is a biological ecosystem that we are living with. And then so that begins to show that, hey, hang on, these bacteria also live in the gut. They speak to the immune system. The brain is monitoring what's happening in the mouth. And we're now beginning to see that, well, actually, there are nutritive factors to this. There are underlying comorbidities with tooth decay that, you know, relate to what we eat. And we can see that, you know, this is happening inside the body, not just the outside.
Yeah, it's really powerful. It's sort of like graduating the understanding around a very simplistic idea. Hey, sugar causes this decay, to a more complex idea, which is not all bacteria is bad. You know, we have the whole germ revolution where we thought germs were all bad. And then now we know that germs are actually, not only are they good, but it's more likely that we are the host for them rather than the other way around. You know, they're using us to get their job done. So take us to the next stage there. So now that you mentioned a few things there. You talked about the exchanging of certain types of minerals and vitamins that were there. So complete that theory with what you understand now and what earlier you were saying we a lot, but really what you're talking about is the biological and functional dentist community. It's still not very well established in traditional dentistry, this idea what you're talking about. So complete that theory of what you know now contributes to the tooth decay.
Yeah, it's a very disparate picture, and it actually speaks to how we disconnect the, you know, oral medicine with systemic medicine. And so the evidences that we understand with diseases in the mouth, they are very disparate from what medical doctors are, you know, treating patients with systemic issues. And so that problem starts to, it really disseminates through society. And then so you have the functional medicine community that looks at root causes and starts to think about why lifestyle, habits and diet and so forth, affect and cause chronic diseases. But dental diseases are very much the same, and they're actually connected. And so when you start to look into how functional medicine and how, understanding nutrient deficiencies and so forth begin to play into, what we see in the mouth, it all starts to paint together. And so it actually goes back to another older text, which I based my first book on, Weston A. Price. And he went around the world and he looked at what happened with traditional diets and what happens with modern decay. And he found that as soon as we move ourselves off traditional diets, we begin to see dental diseases. This happens in the anthropological records, and it happens in modern populations as well. This was in the 30s that he was doing this. And so what he did was he looked at the differences in foods, and he found that there was a specific lack in fat-soluble vitamins that arose which caused the rise in decay. So up to 30%, which is the modern rates that we see decay, and they're going up now, once we remove these factors from our diet. And so what he was talking about here was vitamin D and the fat-soluble vitamins. And what we've learned in the last 20 to 30 years is that vitamin D that we absorb through sunlight, but we also get from food, is a primary manager of minerals in the body, so calcium specifically. And it's how we absorb calcium. So when we're vitamin D deficient, we don't absorb calcium in the digestive system. So you can eat as many foods as you like with calcium. So, proteins, plant-based foods with calcium, if you don't have vitamin D, you won't absorb it, it'll fall straight out of you. And then it's the management of these minerals, so calcium itself, how it gets into your bones and teeth. Now, vitamin D is a hormone regulator. It regulates our DNA. And so what we now know is that there are thousands of cells all over the body that are listening, that have vitamin D receptors, and that are listening to the vitamin D in our body. And so when we're vitamin D deficient, we have an overall message to strip minerals. And this is kind of just the surface level as to how our diet, how our vitamins, and how our endocrine system manages the nutrient balances in the teeth. And recently, so in the last 10 years, what really kind of opened my mind to this was what we're understanding about the microbiology of plaque. So we mentioned before that plaque and calcium interact. So the reason why you get that calcified plaque built up on the back of your lower teeth that your dentist cleans off. Now, there isn't a good physiological explanation for that. So the dental community says it's due to poor oral hygiene, but actually it's due to the body not managing calcium. And we know that there are proteins in the mouth that carry calcium into bones and teeth. And so these are fat-soluble vitamins that work synergistically with vitamin D. And when vitamin D absorbs calcium, it needs these other nutrients, which is vitamin K2, to carry calcium into bones and teeth. And so what the studies actually show is that tooth decay is actually a deficiency in calcium in the mouth. It's not actually just the stickiness of plaque on teeth or the overproduction of acid from certain bacteria in the mouth. It's actually the lack of calcium. And so what bacteria will do is they move into teeth to strip the minerals, which is what tooth enamel is. It's frozen minerals, calcium, phosphate, and the bacteria actually need this. Calcium is involved in every physiological process in our body, muscle reactions, cell reactions, brain reactions, and bacteria need it as well. So we're actually seeing an imbalance in the way our body is moving minerals around.
And it's so crazy about Weston Price because, I mean, what year was his work and his, you know, books published? It was how many years ago?
In the 30s. So yeah.
In the 30s, in the 1930s. You know, I just had on, we were talking about her, but I had my personal dentist here, Dr. Roshian on. She said, you know, he was a genius that was just so ahead of his times. I mean, people were back then like, you got to be crazy because modern dental health is associated with prosperity and the rise of the economy. And we often thought of people not having access to dental health and dental insurance and dental care prior to, you know, to the modern day dentistry as being sort of savages in a way, you could say. But Dr. Weston Price, as you mentioned, was looking at these modern day hunter-gatherer societies that were still living the way they were. They didn't have dentists. They didn't have toothpaste. They didn't have Colgate. They didn't have all this stuff. They weren't flossing. Sometimes they were chewing on different types of sticks that had a flossing-like effect there, but their teeth were perfect. And that's a big part of what he was outlining until, and he documented this as well, they would start to transition to more of the industrialized process. Now, all of a sudden, tribes members and individuals who had great teeth within a few years were having incredible decay. And I saw this firsthand. I mentioned this before in a podcast. I went to Kenya with a group of my friends and we went and stayed with the modern day hunter-gatherer group called the Samburu. And we saw how individuals as part of that tribe who had kind of branched off and had been living in kind of more modernized Kenya, who had been eating the more industrialized diet, would start to develop severe dental issues. But even the elders who were part of the tribe that had been living this way and eating their traditional foods, they had never seen a dentist before. They were well, they actually don't know how old they are exactly, but they were guessing somewhere between like, you know, 65 and 70, somewhere around there. Their teeth were perfect. And you just don't see that here in the US.
No, you don't. You know, tooth decay is the most common chronic issue in, you know, in children, and we all, it affects up to 50% of adults. You know, you don't see those rates, you know, until very, very recently. When you look at the skull records, when you look at, you know, people that lived on the land traditionally, you know, you see it in Australia, you see it in New Zealand, you see it throughout South America, and Price demonstrated this. And what you saw, was that quite recently you went to Kenya and you saw that?
I was there. Yeah. It was about, I would say like 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, I remember. And yeah, so that's exactly what Price did. He went around the world and saw the exact observations that you did. And it's amazing that we've lost this perspective. And when we see decay in our children, when we see, you know, a hole in our tooth ourselves, there's a lot more, you know, to answer for than just, you know, that there's some sugar, you know, building up some plaque on our teeth. And so, yeah, it really teaches us of a lost, you know, a lost human art of understanding how the body works and how the mouth connects into, you know, the systemic issues that we suffer as well.
So you mentioned a few different vitamins that were there. You talked about, you know, vitamin D and A. You didn't talk about too much about vitamin K, but I know you've written about that as well and how the link between vitamin K and vitamin D goes hand in hand. And you also have talked about in your writing, in your article that I read about collagen. So give us a little bit for people who are like, well, I eat really healthy. You know, I eat healthy. I have like grass-fed foods, things like that. How could even people who think that they're eating really healthy be sometimes deficient in this? And as a byproduct, their dental health is suffering and they can see that firsthand, that they might see that tartar buildup when they're going to the dentist, or they still might be experiencing things like cavity, even if they're not having a lot of sugar in their diet. Because I know when I switched to being vegan and started cut out like sugar in my diet and started removing things that I felt that weren't that healthy for me, like, you know, dairy and gluten and other things like that, I was still having cavities that would pop up on a regular basis. So how are even people that think that they're eating healthy, what are the things that are going on in their diet that they might be missing some of these foods and these vitamins that are so important to oral health?
Yeah, and So when we look at traditional diets and what has changed, so why we're observing these shifts in people that traditionally didn't have decay and what we eat today, there is a specific lack of fat-soluble vitamins. So the foods that carry these nutrients are the food we just don't eat them today. You know, unless you eat organs, unless you eat grass-raised dairy, which is very difficult. You know, even today we don't. It's very difficult to get these foods that are raised from pastured animals, and these are the foods that our ancestors ate. And so when you don't eat organs and even the different types of organs, the most nutrient dense food on the planet is liver. And the reason is because the liver is the organ that carries these fat soluble vitamins. So when you eat a food with vitamin D, for instance, it has to be assimilated and absorbed into cholesterols that are carried and directed around from the liver. Now, when you eat this from an animal, you absorb all of these nutrients that they convert into the active form that we humans eat. And so unless you have a diet rich in these foods, which we really just don't, I've been trying to convert to this type of diet now for many years after, writing and seeing what this effect is. And it's difficult, in our modern world, it's very hard to go to a supermarket and pick up, a nice pate or a slice of liver. You have to go out and really make an effort to talk to your butcher and talk to, where you can source some organically raised, pastured organ meats. Very difficult. Then you have to learn to prepare it. You have to convince the people around you to eat it, or you're just eating it by yourself. People today, we just don't do this, and it is a very disparate change from what our foods used to be. So when we don't eat these foods, when we're deficient in vitamin D, and this is a baseline. We'll go into more details, but just as vitamin D is kind of the baseline, so that's where I kind of start with talking about, is that up to 80% of the people now are vitamin D deficient. And we've seen that when there are studies both in, there's one in Russia and one in Africa, where they take traditional societies off their foods and they measure their blood vitamin D and it decreases. So today we're measuring our vitamin D levels, and these are the things that are exactly managing the mineralization of our teeth. And when we're deficient in these things, our teeth don't mineralize. And we have to remember that teeth, it's a long game. It's a crystallization. So when crystals and rocks formed in nature, it takes thousands of thousands of years. For your teeth, your baby teeth start to form in utero. And we know that vitamin D deficiency from a mother translates to the newborn child. And so and when we're a population 80% deficient in vitamin D, this is going on to our next generation. Now, a child's teeth won't erupt, till they're roughly 6 months or so. But then once we see that sometimes there's a cavity forming, that's a long-term deficiency. Fat-soluble vitamins and minerals take a long-term time to form in the body. And so between 1 and 3, then the adult teeth start to form. So if a child has holes in its baby teeth, then by the time it's 6 to 12, these might fall out. But if they have deficiency between 1 and 3, when the adult teeth are forming, then the adult teeth come up, and then you're going to have a hole in the tooth. So when we're looking at tooth decay, we need to think long term what has happened. And for instance, you can get markings on teeth that are due to deficiencies, or for instance, infections. You can, if the mother has a fever, then a child can have a mottled enamel or a white speckling on the enamel due to the fever at that time. So, and what's happening is the body is placing minerals, and so it's using and sequestering these nutrients and minerals, and it's putting it together to form the tooth structure, the hardest structure in your body, used to chew and grind meat and food. And it's a very resource heavy process, and it's also a very reactive process. So it's constantly mineralizing and demineralizing. Once the tooth erupts, the enamel is exchanging minerals with the saliva. So saliva is full of minerals as well. So we need to think of tooth decay to start with as a long-term deficiency, and that, because I think people are a bit hard on themselves when they have tooth decay, or and they think, I've been eating so healthy. Like, I've even seen parents who have been, you know, eating a diet that are, you know, even through through pregnancy, and they still have children with holes in their teeth. We're in a generational problem now, and people just need to take that perspective. We need to step back a bit and just understand that teeth and bones take a long time to heal, and that, and once we get on that road, it will take some. It can happen, but we just need to understand that it takes a long time.
Yeah, it's not like the problem wasn't caused overnight, so it's not going to be fixed overnight either. So let's get into the next aspect of this. Well, I actually wanted to chime in one more thing. You know, the old Drew who was vegan, the idea of eating organ meat would have been like crazy, you know, to me, like organ meat, like, what are you talking about? Like, is that actually a thing? And as you go down this rabbit hole and you start to learn a little bit more, you know, we've had researchers and physicians like Dr. Terry Walls on the program. And she talks about when in her Walls protocol, which she uses to help MS patients significantly reduce, and in some cases, you have to put in air quotes, reverse MS, because the symptoms have gotten so much to a degree of being suppressed that it doesn't feel like they have the disease anymore. When people have gone through that and other autoimmune conditions, she, in her discovery, she was doing all these different aspects, and she felt that what took it to the next level was the inclusion of organ meat. What took it to the next level of healing for her was organ meat. And anybody who wants to listen to that, we'll put the episode in the show notes below. And she talks about that in detail about how that, and she also was a vegetarian before as well. Let's jump into the next component. So you mentioned something, which was it takes a long time for these deficiencies to build up. So going back to the title of this episode, can we actually do something about it? And how long will it take to then reverse course for some of these decays or bad oral health that we're seeing?
Yes. Yeah, so with tooth lesions, with cavities, there are three aspects of the tooth, of the anatomy, and that's the enamel, the dentin, and the pulp. And so the enamel is the outer layer. And so that's the most mineralized layer. And that's laid down by a special set of cells when the tooth is actually under the gum in the bud stage. And so what happens is you can't actually, when enamel is destroyed, you don't have the cells there to remineralize it. So I've never seen enamel regrow as a sense. But dentin, in dental school, you're taught about the histology of reparative dentine. And the reason is that, so dentine is the much, is a less mineralized version of enamel, and it's underneath the enamel, and it's connected to the nerves and the pulp, so the blood supply. So it's the living, breathing part of the tooth. Now we know that dentin with a carious lesion can repair itself. And the reason is that in the pulp, inside the tooth, where there is a nerve, where there is an artery supply, where there is a lymphatic supply, so the tooth is draining toxins as well. And so what happens is that the body can use their bone marrow like cells, so they're called odontoblasts, inside the teeth, and so odontoblasts run on these fat soluble vitamins, and they can lay down reparative dentine. It's not quite like the old dentine; it's like a hardened layer. And so what happens is, we know this happens, and so, but the body has to have enough of the nutrients in order for this to happen, and so the dental industry knows that. That dentin can repair, but we haven't talked about the physiological ways that we get it to do that. And so when you change a patient's diet, and so the way that we can kind of track this through, you know, back to understanding what's happening in the body to a lesion in the tooth, is that, you know, we need to start thinking about the biomarkers that the body needs to repair this. So if you have tooth decay, you know, you need to be thinking about your vitamin D levels, because if you're deficient in vitamin D, it's going to be very, very difficult for your dentin to be able to repair itself. And so, you know, people think about topical factors, but we're really starting to see that there's an internal message, both from the brain. The brain is managing minerals just like it manages the you know, the density of your bones. So when we are vitamin D deficient long term, we lose the density in our hip bones, in our femur bones, in our spine. The same thing happens in our teeth, and that's all run on those nutrients. And so there was a study actually in the 70s and 80s and 90s that showed that when you put a radioactive dye injected into a rat, you can detect that that molecule in the mouth. So that shows that, so in the bloodstream, a nutrient will transfer into the teeth. And what the researchers actually did was they showed that you can reverse the flow from inside to out to outside to in just by giving the rats a sugary diet, a high sucrose diet. So what happens is when they eat a simple carbohydrate load, the flow move from outside the teeth to in. So, and they showed that when this change happens, the teeth are more susceptible to decay. And there's a management of the saliva by the parotid gland. And so what's happening is that there, when these nutrient levels in the body are sufficient, the brain and the body and the tooth itself, the bacteria, all work together to remineralize anything that's happening in the mouth. If there's a certain overload of certain bacteria in the mouth, then it can repair. And in the dentine, there are tubules called dentin tubules. They're little tiny tubes that they're actually, enamel is structured the same, and bacteria are running up and down. And what's happening is that the body's calculating what's happening with the bacterial load in the mouth, and it can counter these things. It can let out immune reactions. We have immune responses in the saliva, within the teeth as well, and it can actually absorb any toxin via the lymphatic system. Now, the lymphatic system drains from outside in the face to in, down into the veins, and then clears those toxins as well. So if you have a stuck lymphatic system, that's going to block these systems as well. So we can start to see that there's a shift between when a bacterial problem happens in the mouth. The body does have the ability to repair it, but we need to understand all the factors that go into that.
Yeah, and it really helps understand that how all these things orchestrate and work together. Fixing the teeth isn't about a local intervention. And we've thought about it for a long time as a localized intervention in the actual mouth. It's actually, we have to think of our teeth like other, like almost like an organ inside of our body, right? Like you don't eat away particular way for your heart health. Like the best diet for your heart is also the best diet for all the other organs inside of your body. And so that's how we want to be thinking about the teeth as well too, is what I'm hearing and understanding from you. So talk a little bit more about the oral microbiome. And we've done a lot of episodes on this podcast about gut health, but how can other bacteria like candida also contribute to the acceleration of decay inside of the mouth?
Yeah, so we know that there are certain bacteria that are present when we have decay, and these are associated with simple sugars. But we also know that there are protective bacteria in the mouth too that that allow us. They release certain factors that will downplay these potentially harmful bacteria, and these bacteria live in the mouth normally as well. Now, what we also know is that there are many, many other types of microbes living in the mouth, such as such as fungus, such as even viruses, parasites. All of these things live within our mouth, and so what happens is there are many different types of decay presentations, and so one type is extensive caries across many different surfaces of teeth. So when you often have the lesions right across the front of the teeth, often in children, it's quite tragic. But what they've shown is that in these types of cases, there is often a concurrent overload of candida albicans in the mouth, and this is the cause of oral thrush. So when you have a little red lesions on the side of the mouth, or you have white lesions inside the mouth, that can be due to oral thrush. And so this is an overload of this fungal infection. And what happens is that it happens in, for instance, immunodeficiency, when you have AIDS and so forth, you have oral thrush often, or severe cancer patients, they have oral thrush. But what it's showing is that if we don't manage the microbiome, so the oral microbiome, which is a very, very, you know, we don't really understand what's happening with these type of microbes in the mouth. When you lose the defense factors of fungus in the mouth, it seems to overload. And Candida albicans is associated with sugar consumption. So it seems to be a concurrent imbalance in the oral microbiome. There are other factors too. You know, yes, we do need to reduce the simple carbohydrates. We need to put the defensive factors in. You know, we probably need to think about how we manage the fungal microbiome too. You know, there are, you know, medicines that have been used for thousands of years. And you started to talk about, you know, how teeth are organs. Well, in Chinese medicine, they specifically show how teeth are connected to organs. And another pattern of tooth decay is where you have, and this is the most common pattern of tooth decay I see in adults and so forth, is you have one tooth that is rotten nearly right to the root and the rest of the teeth are fine. And in the microbiological sense, that doesn't make a lot of you know, it doesn't make sense. You
just have, like, yeah, why would it just happen to one tooth?
Exactly. And that shows that there seems to be an internal deficiency or a problem that has caused the immune system inside the tooth. There is an immune system inside the tooth to fail. And so that's the most common cause of, or common presentation of decay. And in Chinese medicine, they say that each tooth is connected to an organ. And I haven't got to the level where I'm practicing, connecting.
Connecting all the dots.
Yeah, right. But when you ask people about when they have what I'm doing now is when someone has a lesion, we get their full medical history, and you'll often find if there's a pancreas problem, or if there's a sinus problem, it relates to certain teeth, digestive problems. And so they'll often say, oh yeah, I have an issue that I'm dealing with. And it seems to relate, you know, we're not there scientifically yet, but you know, it's still painting this picture of an internal contribution to decay.
You know, another factor that is so important while we are talking about inside out oral dental care, there's also this component that the bacteria balance inside of our mouth and the good bacteria, the good fungus, because I was hearing you say the microbiome, everybody knows the microbiome, but the microbiome, the fungal, there's beneficial fungus, non-beneficial fungus. And those things can be thrown off by very common things. One of the most common ones that people use would be mouthwash. Talk to us about why mouthwash is really not a good solution, especially when it comes to protecting and avoiding decay inside the mouth.
Yeah. So as we said, you know, we now know that there are protective probiotic species in the mouth, and for the most part, broad spectrum antibacterial mouthwashes decrease the diversity in the microbiome. And we know this is associated with the increase in disease. So once we remove the diversity of bacteria that live within the mouth and the gut, speak to the immune system and so forth, that's when we, you know, start to get the chronic disease in the mouth. But then also we know that in, you know, type 2 diabetes, obesity and so forth, we lose the diversity in the gut. And so mouthwash is one of the fastest ways to lose diversity in your microbiome. It's literally killing bacteria in the mouth, and daily antimicrobial mouthwashes are now being shown to start to increase the risk of people with pre-diabetes. So daily alcoholic mouthwashes can increase the risk of type 2 pre-diabetes. And we know that this loss of diversity in the gut corresponds to metabolic imbalances associated with type 2 diabetes. And so the same thing happens in the mouth. We have an increase in gum disease, for instance, with people with these metabolic issues. And so if you use antibacterial mouthwashes daily, you are decreasing the diversity of your microbiome. And that goes for toothpaste too. Any antimicrobial ingredient that you use in a toothpaste as well is decreasing the microbial populations in the mouth.
And we just had Dr. Lou Ignaro, Nobel Prize winner, on this podcast. Another thing he brought up is how much also mouthwash is impacting the bacteria that are essential for nitric oxide production. At the beginning phase of nitric oxide production that starts in the mouth, and how that bacteria also keys into breathing through the nose. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why just like regular use of mouthwash is not a good idea. Stepping aside really quickly from the tooth decay conversation, do you have recommendations for the listeners who are like, okay, I'm still using mouthwash occasionally, you know, I have some bad breath, maybe I need to address my deeper gut health issues that are going on. But if somebody's looking for a better solution to replace the mouthwash, are there any more holistic interventions that you would recommend?
Yeah, so there are some mouthwashes. I don't recommend using antimicrobial treatments long-term, but if you have an issue, say you have a lesion or you have, or you're using a mouthwash for some reason, then there are a number of products that are shown to increase or help the mineralization of teeth and cause less harm to the oral microbiome. And so, for instance, for paste, so hydroxyapatite paste have been shown to remineralize teeth as effectively as fluoride. And the issue with fluoride is it interrupts with iodine metabolism in the body. So when you're using a hydroxyapatite paste, which is a mix of calcium and phosphate, which are the mineral balances we're talking about, you can put that topically into the mouth, and that has been shown to help to remineralize teeth. It can help with sensitivity too. I recommend it to patients that have sensitive teeth. They can put it on the surfaces of the root that are sometimes.
And is that something that people, you know, where would they pick that up? Is this a specialty item? You know, I haven't come across it, so it might just be something that's easy to get, or you might have to ask for it somewhere. So how does one pick that ingredient up?
Yeah, there are a few around. So the one in Australia is Tooth Mousse, which is a hydroxyapatite paste. There's also there's a 3M paste with hydroxyapatite, and there's a few other brands in America too. I'd have to.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm looking here. There's a company that actually they DM'd me on Instagram a few days ago called Risewell, RISEWELL. They have a natural hydroxyapatite toothpaste.
Yeah, so that's so that's using that active ingredient. I've seen Risewell. Yeah,
but it may not be what you are encouraging. You just want the raw paste itself without the toothpaste. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. So anything with hydroxyapatite in it is replacing those minerals. It's a different philosophy to what we've used in conventional antibacterial treatments. And so for mouthwash, an interesting one that it's funny, we've lost the use of iodine in the mouth, because iodine was long used for even tooth decay, so topical iodine for the treatment of topical lesions. But you can have molecular iodine mouthwashes as a safe and effective antimicrobial. Again, I don't recommend it using long-term, but an interesting connection there is that, you know, often with tooth issues, and we see, you know, in kids with lesions, so forth, there's concurrent thyroid issues, and thyroid issues can be associated with iodine deficiency. So it's maybe speaking to this issue, you know, where we're seeing the manifestations of tooth decay associated with thyroid issues. And molecular iodine in mouthwashes, although people with hypothyroidism need to be careful with iodine, for instance, it may be a good topical way to if you have a lesion or oral disease. Another one is chlorine dioxide mouthwash, which is a much lower harsh the way in its antimicrobial methods, and so you can get a few of the chlorine dioxide, and it has been shown to reduce certain species of disease-causing bacteria in the mouth as well.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody has a little bit of morning breath when you first wake up or that sort of thing, just from the stagnation. Actually, it's often increased by mouth breathing, which we can talk about here in a second. But perpetual bad breath and deep bad breath, especially later on in the day where people are covering it up with breath mints or mouthwash, it's really a sign of a chronic issue that you got to get checked out. Either Is there stuff going on in your dental health, like some gum disease? Have you not been to the dentist in a little while? Or is something going on with your gut microbiome that really needs rebalancing and you have to follow and maybe work with the functional medicine doctor to get that, you know, sorted out? So let's talk about, we were just taking a little bit of break for talking about some of those alternatives to mouthwash. Bring in the mouth breathing piece and the summary of how mouth breathing is connected to tooth decay.
So all of the factors we've been talking about, the minerals, the immune factors, the nutrients that support the healthy maintenance of tooth enamel are connected to this saliva in the mouth. And the way that saliva works is via contact on the teeth. Now, if you dry the teeth out, then you're going to increase the risk of tooth decay. And what we often see, for instance, in patients that have head and neck cancers and they've had radiotherapy on these areas and they lose the efficacy of the saliva gland on one side, you'll often see a decay pattern shot across that side of the mouth where the lack of saliva is. So without that nourishment from saliva, which is full of minerals and these factors we're talking about, you don't have the protective balances of the body. And so the quick, fastest way you can take away saliva from the mouth, and for instance, if you have morning breath, it's probably a sign that you're doing some amount of mouth breathing through the night. So if you breathe through the mouth, then you're drying out the saliva. And as an aside, we're not supposed to, you know, your mouth's for eating, your nose is for breathing. You know, this has become quite a big topic of late. You know, the dentist talking about mouth taping. Mark Boheny has been a big advocate of that for years. And there's, you know, a recent book by James Nestor on the how we can reverse sleep apnea just by taping the mouth at night. There's a lot to that. But for tooth decay, in children that have lesions across the front of the mouth, you know, or nursing caries, for instance. So a lot of mothers are seeing kids with lesions across the front of the teeth and they're nursing and they're saying, well, why is this happening? Well, if any type of liquid with some amount of simple carbohydrate in it left on the surface of the teeth to dry out will eventually cause decay. And so in kids that mouth breathe, in adults that mouth breathe, when you have this dryness of and it can be associated with open posture, can be associated with lip ties, so the flap of skin up under the upper lip, which causes the lip to lift up and we don't see the seal of the mouth. That happens in kids a lot, and if there's difficulty breastfeeding, but it can be a reason why a child gets tooth decay if they're constantly drying out that saliva.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I mean, it's like next level dentistry that is being there. And there's dentists like yourself that are really sounding the alarm. And even actually when you first had told me about it a few years ago, I was like, I had never known it was that much of an issue. I knew of sleep apnea. I knew of like snoring. I knew of things like that, but I did not know the full circle at all. And you really were the one to introduce me to that. So just to make sure everybody understands it's listening, these are primarily, it can be during the day. I mean, there are people that breathe through the mouth during the day, but for a lot of individuals who don't notice it, we're really talking about when individuals go to sleep at night and they, for a few reasons, could be jaw structure. It could be related to a tongue tie, which is the bottom of your tongue is set up in a way where your tongue is not able to collapse correctly the roof of the mouth and create the circulation of oxygen through your nose. And there might be a couple other reasons, but basically you end up breathing through your mouth because your body cannot properly get the oxygen through the nose. And that's what you're talking about with mouth breathing. It's primarily something that's showing up at night when people are sleeping.
That's right. And especially, for people that have had a few lesions in the mouth, so cavities, you want to be thinking about how you're breathing and how that saliva. So there's a lot of, patients I see that, we talk about all this and they're like, yep, I'm onto this. You know, they change their diet, they take supplements and so forth. They go and see a functional medicine doctor, but if they're not breathing through the nose, through the night, especially when we're unconscious, then you're not giving the body the ability to use all these factors to remineralize the teeth. And remineralization, as we talked about, it's a long process. So you have to let it happen. And, you know, I think one of the more powerful ways you can do it is to get deep sleep by breathing through the nose. The nervous system calms down. One thing you need to remember too is the teeth are connected to the trigeminal nerve, the biggest cranial nerve in the body. Well, most innervated through the head. It's connected to the all the upper teeth, connects in like a web up and runs in the jaw here. The brain is very, very closely listening to what's happening in the mouth. And they've even shown that, for instance, that certain bacteria can get into the brain. And in Alzheimer's disease, you find an oral bacteria that shows up in gum disease, and it's in the brain of rats. And also they're starting to show it in humans as well. But we know that bacteria crawl up and down the nerves. So breathing is a way to calm the nervous system down. And then all the factors that you can put into your body, it really needs you to get deep sleep, to breathe correctly, use the respiratory system correctly, and let the saliva bathe the teeth, let the endocrine system calm down, let the thyroid calm down, so that all these things can balance and the body can start to put these minerals back where they should be.
And mouth taping is like a whole discussion on its own, and addressing sort of it's a short term intervention that people can do right away, and it literally is that you can either use, you know, some people are using duct tape, which is easier if you don't have a beard, but there's also custom made. There's a company called Somnifix. They make a mouth tape, and you can Google it on Amazon. Non-toxic mouth tape that is very easy, and it doesn't make you feel like the first time that I was using it with my fiance, because I would notice that she wasn't getting the best and deepest sleep that was there. And I noticed a few times when I woke up in the middle of the night that she was breathing through her mouth. So I said, let's try this mouth tape as one of the mechanisms to help you sleep and get better rest. That's the other plus side is not only does it protect your teeth, but it's also helping with that aspect of deeper rest, because a whole new layer of oxygenation happens for the body. So you put on this like Somnifix, tape, and she was so worried she was going to feel like claustrophobic, like somebody's like smothering her at night. And actually, sometimes I say it's maybe not even strong enough, because it's very easy to kind of take off sometimes. But once you get used to it, you just wear it, and you wear it the whole night, and you wake up the next day and your mouth isn't dry, and you aren't grinding your teeth. For a lot of people who are grinding their teeth, that's another thing that you've talked about, is that it could be because they're breathing through their mouth and their body is stressed. And then there's that grinding action that ends up happening. But we'll link to a few resources that you have on the topic. And especially on the longer term thing, when it comes to kids, they might need sometimes minimally invasive surgeries or other things to correct jaw structure. And I know you talk a lot about that. So we'll link to that in the show notes. Is there any blog posts or something like that that you want us to link to, or that our audience can get more education on this topic for mouth breathing and correcting that process?
Yeah. If you go to my website and search mouth breathing and myofunctional orthodontics, so that's the type of orthodontics that looks to grow the jaw. It's quite a delicate conversation with partners, to tell them to take the mouth right to sleep. It's the same dynamic kind of with patients too. When I say, look, you can maybe try taping your mouth, there's often a very kind of awkward reaction. And when people kind of don't know the reason behind it, it's a bit delicate, but
it sounds crazy. Let's be honest. It sounds like you are crazy. And you're like, what the F are you talking about? Taping my mouth? Like, what the hell? But there's a lot of, there's a lot of understanding, science, and research that's there. Sorry to interrupt.
No, yeah, totally. But that's, and so with my experience with mouth taping, and this is what I see a lot in patients, people that are habitual mouth breathing. I was mouth breathing at night. And so it took me a long time to be able to tolerate tape on the mouth. I would subconsciously take it off because my body, my brainstem was not tied into being able to breathe deeply and let the oxygen transfer happen. And the reason is because you don't get enough tolerance to carbon dioxide. So when you breathe deeply through the nose, carbon dioxide rises, and then you get the exchange of gases at the alveoli of the lungs and into the bloodstream. When you breathe through the mouth very shallowly, that exchange doesn't happen. You have to train your body into doing this. Otherwise, it feels like you're suffocating, which is, you know, what your partner, her reaction had, is this feeling of suffocation. I had the same thing with the idea of taping the mouth. So things like breath work and exercises and partaker breathing, for instance, and myofunctional orthodontics looks to address this. Same with tongue posture as well. So tongue posture helps, like we talked about, support the oropharyngeal area and all of these things connecting together. Unfortunately, with dental issues, it doesn't happen overnight, but that's, you know, kind of like anything with health, you know, we kind of just have to commit to the, you know, understanding where the problem came from. And then, you know, if we know the importance of it, I think, you know, a lot of people can kind of get into that mindset to change in their life and the benefits that will eventually come. It doesn't happen overnight. Yeah, it took me like 3 months to be able to tolerate mouth tape. But now if I sleep without it, I very much notice the difference.
So we've talked about mouth taping with tooth decay and its other benefits. We've talked about avoiding like alcohol-based mouthwashes or antimicrobial-based mouthwashes to protect the oral microbiome. And then going back to our earlier thing, you talked about the benefits of certain types of fat-soluble vitamins and right nutrients, potentially including organ meats in your original article, you know, you provided a lot of different suggestions and even kind of like a protocol that people could follow. Again, this doesn't happen overnight, but if somebody today was noticing that they went to the dentist office and they were noticing that they're starting to get a little decay, maybe not like a full blown decay, I don't know the proper terminology in dentistry, but there's a little bit of decay that's starting to build up on a tooth that's there. Would you still recommend following your protocol? If so, can you walk us through that? And it's so personalized, but as a whole, do you think this is something that could still potentially help them reverse this decay?
Yeah, so when you go to the dentist and you have an oral examination where they take x-rays and they'll do an intraoral exam, if they identify a lesion, what you'll be able to identify is the depth of the lesion. So that's how that we generally class, you know, the severity of decay. So what happens is you get a shadowing on the x-ray. And so if that shadowing stays in the enamel, that's generally called a class 1 to class 2 lesion. These lesions can be remineralized. So that means it's not broken. You may not even notice it's there, but the dentist will pick it up. Now, in these cases, I mean, we know the conventional dental treatment of that would be, it was to be to put topical fluoride on that. And the issue with fluoride is that it will harden the enamel, but it won't necessarily change the underlying issue that caused the decay. So if you have a lesion in enamel, you can very much, you know, be of the mindset that this can be remineralized or reversed. If it's into the dentine, now you're getting to the zone where the decay is getting closer to the nerve, and there becomes risk that if you just leave it, you can get an infection of the nerve. And so you really kind of have to work with your dentist in that sense and understand the risks and so forth and, you know, make those decisions. But if you have an enamel or an early dentine lesion, there may be, you know, a zone where you can, you know, enact some lifestyle change to see. And what you can do is you can go back in 3 to 6 months, take new x-rays and check if the lesion is remineralized, because you'll see this on the x-rays. They'll actually increase their radio opacity or their whiteness on the x-ray, and if it's remineralized, and you can put them side by side. So you want to work with a dentist with this, because without that, you don't have any feedback, and you just don't know what's happening. But so all the factors that we're starting to talk about, so where if you have this lesion, you need to be thinking deficiency. I think, you know, across the board, my patients that have tooth decay, I recommend they go and get a vitamin D deficiency test. And so this checks your blood levels of vitamin D. Now, the issue is that there's a lot of detail with blood levels of vitamin D. You can have sufficient levels and sometimes that doesn't work. Or some people have low levels and it takes a long time for them to lift up. Supplementation, remember that supplementation needs to be activated into its active form in the body. So the version of vitamin D you take via supplement form has to be activated again. And then that's the version that activates all the gene receptors throughout the body for vitamin D. So supplements are a, you know, it's one aspect to this, but knowing your vitamin D levels when we have a lesion is very important. And then we can supplement alongside, but then dietary, you know, we need to replace these foods. And so foods like rich in fat soluble vitamins, such as cod liver oil. If you can take a desiccated liver capsule, you know, for people that aren't going to go out there and cook liver themselves, you can take a desiccated liver capsule. And you know, take 4 to 6 of them a day with cod liver oil. And then you can test your vitamin D levels to see if they're lifting up after 3 to 6 months. And then within that, you know, if you're getting x-rays on the lesion, we can start to see if we're seeing some changes in the enamel. Other factors to think about: vitamin K2, which comes in same as organ meats. If you eat these foods, you're going to get a broad spectrum of these nutrients. You can also supplement K2. It comes in two forms, the menaquinone 4, which is the animal sourced one, and the menaquinone 7. The menaquinone 4, which is the animal source, is more active in the body, and the menaquinone 7 comes from fermented foods like sauerkraut and other vegetable ferments and so forth, some dairy too. So you can supplement both of those forms too. If you take a D3 supplement, you should always take a K2 supplement. And one of the things that people, you know, not many people are talking about now is vitamin A. So you get vitamin A with cod liver oil, but vitamin D deficiency also, vitamin A and vitamin D work together. And so if you have an increase in vitamin D, it increases the need for vitamin A in the body. So if you take a vitamin D supplement, we should really be thinking vitamin A as well. And you can get these from natural food sources like organ meats, but you can also supplement as well. And so these things work together. And then the thing that catalyzes all these nutrients are magnesium. Magnesium is a mineral that we don't talk about. It's actually within the tooth structure as well. So you need to be getting a lot of magnesium for all of these nutrients to work. And if you take enough vitamin D, but you're magnesium deficient, it won't work. And so magnesium itself is a mineral that sits along the outside of the structure of the calcium phosphate tooth mineral. And if you're magnesium deficient, your vitamin D receptors won't work. The kidneys will actually remove more minerals from your body because we're deficient in these in calcium and phosphate and magnesium. And so you have to get a lot of magnesium. So I think, you know, today, because of the way food quality is stripped out, we don't get enough magnesium than what we used to. So soil's quality has gone down. So people supplementing vitamin D, K2A, and magnesium makes a lot of sense in terms of making sure that you're getting enough of these nutrients. And then, you know, making sure you test, you know, you can test your D levels, you know, check your symptoms with magnesium. Sometimes you can get, you know, digestive symptoms like where your stools become quite loose and so forth. You know, you can titrate that depending on your symptoms. And then things like ferments, so like oral probiotics, so things like kefir, things like fermented vegetables. These things replenish the oral bacteria, and we want to be replenishing the oral environment in order for it to be able to regenerate. And the other thing that we talked about before is that bone, before bone is made, it's a collagen matrix. So the body lays down amino acids, and then it calcifies those amino acids. So for tooth structure to remineralize, you need collagen amino acids, and these come in foods like bone broth from the joints of animals, from the skin, from you can take a collagen supplement, but I think it's really important if you're trying to remineralize some cavities in your mouth, you need that precursor for bone. Otherwise your body's going to be trying to pull these amino acids where you're in deficiency. So when you put these things together and you take you know, regular interval x-rays, you can potentially manage lesion. You may see certain lesions remineralized. You can take photos of them. A dentist will often get intraoral photographs of them. And so it's possible. It does happen, but you have to be very careful. You have to understand all the different risks and know that if a lesion goes too far, you can get a quite a bad toothache that can end up in an infection.
Yeah. And like you said, as you've shared before, it's really a partnership. You know, find a good biological or functional dentist that understands your goals. There's a great database that in the US, where a lot of our listeners are, Dr. Mark Burhanna has one. You're out in Australia. You have a clinic out there. People can come check you out. And I'm sure you have referrals for other people that are in that region. But I think the larger message from what I'm hearing from you is that, you know, your oral health is your whole body health. So anything that's going on in your mouth is probably an indication of something that's going on in the body. As people have seen this year, especially a whole bunch of people who thought vitamin D was just a vitamin now know through, you know, all the studies that we're seeing out of the US and China and Italy on coronavirus is that a huge percentage of individuals who passed away from COVID-19 were vitamin D deficient. And a huge percentage of people who get vitamin D get coronavirus or vitamin D deficient, even to the extent that here in Los Angeles and a few other cities, there are a group of people that are looking at the homeless population, the people that don't have anywhere to live. And they have been scratching their heads wondering, how is it that this population, we've not seen major outbreaks of coronavirus, right? Like, what is it that's going on with them that they are not seeing major outbreaks of coronavirus? And one of the theories that's there was a really great episode done by a podcast that I'm a huge fan of called Radiolab, called Invisible Allies. We'll link to it in the show notes. One of the things that they're theorizing is that, yes, there's a lot of things that homeless people can be subjected to, you know, teeth infections, other stuff, not having access to dental care, their diet isn't all the best, parasitic stuff. But it does seem to be that certain diseases that affect everybody else are not affecting them because their vitamin D levels are so high because they're out in the sun, I mean, pretty much during the day. So it's a theory, you know, it's not fully established, but it's one of the theories as to why we haven't seen deep COVID outbreaks in the homeless population, especially here in Los Angeles. And that if we're going to fix these things and when we address them in our dental health, it's not just for our dental health. These things are going to benefit all aspects of our life. Our dental health is our full body health. Our full body health is our dental health. That's what I'm hearing is your message.
Yeah, absolutely. And vitamin D deficiency, you know, I came in with the, you know, following Weston A. Price's idea that deficiency causes all dental disease we see in modern society, but it just goes right throughout every disease we see. You know, you mentioned Terry Walls, you know, autoimmune issues are, you know, shown in the literature to be underlying in geographical shifts away from the equator. And we know that vitamin D deficiency affects these conditions. It affects digestive issues. It affects metabolic issues. The brain, Alzheimer's disease now is shown to be heavily related to vitamin D as well. I came in looking at, you know, how teeth are affected by vitamin D, which makes a lot of sense considering the skeletal system, but it does so much more. And, you know, all of these things are pointing to and you mentioned, you know, connection to the sun. That's something, you know, I didn't get to mention, but that's something I'm telling patients more and more is we have to get exposure to the sun. And there are circadian rhythms in the body that regulate all of the things we talk about today. And unless you're getting exposure to when sunrise, so when the morning sun rises, the neurotransmitters in your brain shift from melatonin to serotonin, and that's your daytime, up and functioning upper endocrine management system, but then dark as well. So if you have artificial lights in your house, it can affect your endocrine system. And, you know, these things are affecting everything from your brain to your skeletal system, you know, right through to risk of conditions like autoimmune conditions as well.
It's powerful. Stephen, always a pleasure to jump into these topics with you. Any concluding thoughts here that you want to share with the audience before we go ahead and wrap up?
Yeah. So look, with dental issues, I see a lot of patients that lose hope. You know, if you have a dental condition, there are some, you know, situations where it is final. So, you know, where some teeth just aren't savable. And, you know, I see patients that really kind of agonize over these things, and the patients that just kind of let it go, and the patients that just let things go, you know, they do so much better in the long term. And whilst we're all learning, and you know, we know we can change, you know, our the our health future, and our teeth are a critical marker of that. It's important to know that, you know, sometimes things are final, and, you know, just let bygones be bygones, and, you know, we'll focus on the rest of our what we have in order to make our life as best as it can be.
Yeah, very inspirational message. You got a book out there. We'll be sure to link to it in the show notes. Any other, you're pretty prolific and you have these great things that you post on social media. What's your handle for our audience that wants to follow you?
Yes, I'm at Dr. Stephen Lin, D-R-S-T-E-V-E-N-L-I-N. So actually most of the stuff I'm posting now is on socials. We're in the process of kind of getting it into, you know, book form and everything else. But at the moment on social media, that's where they can find most of the information.
Well, when the new book is out, we'll have you back to have another discussion. Dr. Stephen Lin, thank you for joining us back on the Broken Brain Podcast. If anybody wants to hear more about your first book and the larger sort of broader conversation that we had about more aspects of dental health, we'll link to that podcast below as well. Thank you again for being here.
Thanks, Drew. Really appreciate it.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Just a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not, I repeat, it's not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Provider database. It's important that you have somebody in your corner that's qualified, that's trained, that's a licensed healthcare practitioner helping you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.